Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Take the North podcast is brought to you by the Roorman Automotive Group, home of the $50 oil change. Visit them online at Roorman.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic. I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score. Danny boy, what's going on?
Not much. I'm a long way from the action today, Grody. A long way from the action.
Yeah, you look sad sitting in your home studio. You're not at Hallis Hall. You're not in the Natty with the rest of the reporters. If it makes you feel better, I am at my parents right now in the western suburbs. So all that to say, thank God. Thank God for the guest we have joining us. You can, if you are watching on video right now, you can see the mug of the great Kevin Fishbane, who was at the Bears joint practice in Cincinnati with the Bengals. You know Fishy, senior writer for The Athletic, covering the Chicago Bears. He is also the host of the Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane podcast, and we are happy to have him join us from the Natty. Kevin, thank you for being with us today. How are you, sir?
Hello, friends. I'm doing well. Got a good joint practice in. It was thud today. No, okay. More live tackling, just big old thuds.
Okay.
So it was good to be out there. And, I tell you this, some reporters weren't as prepared for the weather.
Oh.
And it was drizzly and cloudy as we got there, a little cool. Quickly got sunny and hot.
Oh.
And I'm just saying, some reporters forgot sunglasses, some reporters forgot sunscreen. Some of us were prepared.
Did you have a slicker and a umbrella for the sprinkle out there?
I had an umbrella and a sweatshirt ready to go just in case, and I also had sunscreen and sunglasses ready to go just in case.
Wow. So was it a chaotic scene then when the sun came out or the rain, like these other reporters you speak of?
We all preferred being in the sun than the rain, but I think, some folk probably – I will say, I went to put sunscreen on, and I think I influenced some of the other members of the beat. They were like, do we really need sunscreen? I go, guys, never know. Check the hourly and suddenly look up and people are putting on sunscreen. So you're welcome to all of them.
You are an influencer, man. I mean, that's you're Kevin Fishbane. All right, dude, why don't you set the scene for us a little bit? I mean, that was a good start with the weather report, but what was the format? Where were you? Are they in the suburbs of Cincinnati? Are they in Cincinnati?
Right outside the stadium.
Oh,
yeah,
right outside the stadium. Okay.
Their facility is the stadium. Like their Hallis Hall is the stadium.
Stadium.
So, okay. Yeah, they walk. So we were in, in the stadium, like in a media workroom. And so like, how we all have our cubicles at Hallis Hall. The Bengals beat reporters have cubicles at Paycor Stadium. And then we walked across the street. It's kind of a fun setup, I guess, because like you're literally just like walking across a regular street by the stadium. And so a few fans were lined up by the barricades and these players just walking across the field. I will note that young Chris, Emma, and I were walking and kind of following a few players. And at one point, we're kind of like, I don't think we're supposed to continue following the players. Like, there's got to be, you know, we were very much out of place. And then a very terse security guard demanded to know who we were and who we worked for, and then directed us to the other entrance. But yeah, they got these beautiful practice fields right outside the stadium. It's right under the highway. So, you know, if you like, you know, there are parts of practice that we couldn't take video or photo of, but if you were driving along that highway, that overpass, you can get a good shot of you can get a good all 22 pick from up there. And three fields, and you know, they had, you know, the Bears were on one field, Bengals on our field to do all the individuals and stretch, and then we got going.
That's amazing. Obviously, it's a big day, I think, for the Bears. I did partake via video on the Ben Johnson pre-practice press conference, and he seemed like he was eager to dive into the action, and it took me aback, maybe not took me aback, but grabbed my attention when he said that he was going to have a very close eye on special teams today, which is obviously a big part in kind of getting that roster solidified. But we'll get there eventually. I think we probably should start with the quarterback who talked today, Caleb Williams. But before Caleb talked, he participated in a joint practice against the Bengals. It seems like, from everything I've read, that there was a little bit of up, a little bit of down, and a little bit of everything in between.
Yeah, you know, Dan, you know me, I like to avoid cliches. I call it a bit of a roller coaster day for Caleb Williams in the offense. You know, the first snap of 11 on 11 was botched. It was a fumbled exchange between Garrett Bradbury and Caleb Williams. So obviously, rocky start, got in the flow. He had a beautiful, you guys have noticed that Caleb does this, where he had a play action roll to his right, and then floated one to Khalif Raylan. And I just feel like on these throws, he holds his follow through the way like MJ would hold. You know, it's just like, you just know it's going to land right in the bread basket. So he had one of those to Khalif Raylan. But the second set of second series on 11-11 was tough. It was the theme of our conversation, guys, is number 97 on the Bengals. Dexter Lawrence was just everywhere. And it started with the second series. Red zone, we can get into that a little bit, was probably the best of the day for Caleb Williams. He threw three touchdowns. You guys might have seen the Bears just posted the Colson Loveland touchdown, which is one of the best plays of the day. And I'll say this, guys, I thought the 2 minute was probably the worst offense has looked maybe in camp.
Okay. Mm.
Certainly in situations.
Sloppy?
What's interesting is it looked a little bit like last year, but last year it was like almost every day that it looked like that. So, you know, I hope that people, when they hear me say that, understand how smooth it has generally been for me to point out that this was not good in the 2 minute. The first series, and we can go into more detail on this stuff, was a four and out. It was kind of hard to tell from where we were if they counted a sack to Dexter Lawrence, but he got right through the line. Fourth down, throw to Jahdae Walker and complete. I don't even know if he would have made it the first down. Second set of downs, Miles Murphy beats Theo Benedict for a sack. They kind of reset it where it looked like Murphy actually got two sacks and should have been third in a mile, but they actually just kind of redid second down.
Okay.
And then that one, Caleb said afterwards that he kind of held on to the ball a little too long. Might have been tipped, was a little high for Colson Loveland. And picked off, and that was how practice ended. So practice ended on a high note for the Bengals defense, low note for the Bears offense. But I should note again, earlier in practice in red zone, you know, the Bears looked as well as they've looked, you know, all summer, and then as bad as they've looked near toward the end.
To what do you attribute the bad part today? Is that Caleb? Is that the offensive line? What do you think, or what did you see?
Yeah, Mark's all problem. I wrote this in the story. It's up the Athletic right now. I'd be very curious what the Garrett Bradbury evaluation is. And what I mean by that is I have no idea if he was at fault for anything. For all I know, he did his job perfectly. But he's the new guy, right? So we're going to kind of look at him on a day like this when the interior of the line, which is, you know, the Bears' strength, supposed to be a strength, just struggled. Now, granted, 97's a great player. Everybody struggles with him. And Caleb Williams was very quick to point out to us that this wasn't like they created a game plan. How are we going to slow down 97? If this was a game week,
sure,
you know, they would be running everything away from him. And they're not going to do that for a practice. So that needs to be stated. He's right. That's fair. But, you know, I don't know how much of it was communication, how much of it was, you know, just Lawrence being Lawrence, how much of that's on the quarterback, needs to ID some things, needs to get the ball out quicker. But, yeah, there were, you know, against them, there were probably three series total, and then two of those being in the situational stuff that just weren't pretty for the offense. And I just thought that, yeah, the line play. Caleb pointed out penalties. We did see some flags. I actually got the sense that there probably should have been more flags against the Bears maybe than were thrown because they just couldn't handle Dexter Lawrence.
I think you should tweet that.
I don't know.
See what the reaction is. Bears should have had a lot more penalties today in a dry practice in Cincinnati. Let people know. Look, like I wanted to ask you this because I think this is an interesting topic for our audience. This is essentially replaced preseason game action. And I would assume that the coaches tonight are going to go back, they're going to review the tape, and they're going to decide that the most important players on this roster don't need to play on Saturday evening in that game in Cincinnati. And so we've heard from Ben over the last week or so about kind of the goal here in these joint practices, both today and next week in Tennessee. But how do you kind of frame it, understanding that like essentially what happened today replaces what the normal fan used to know as the preseason game under the lights in game action when it starts?
Well, Dan, you know that Ben Johnson's, I mean, he said before this morning he wanted things to be clean and concise. And
they weren't.
2-minute drill was not.
Okay.
So that's going to be a talking point. You know, you kind of come away from that practice and you think to yourself, you know, is there, I still don't think there's anything to gain from the starters playing the preseason game. I think that what they stand to gain is the learning experience from today, from facing the Bengals starting defense and seeing what Dexter Lawrence was doing to them and also seeing the positives. And Ben said too, he wanted them to establish their mindset. And I counted two good runs, one from DeAndre Swift, run from Salvin Ahmed, but other than that, the run game was eh. I think that you're right. I mean, this was their preseason game for the starters. And Saturday night is about filling the last roster spots. The most interesting thing for me for Saturday is going to be left tackle.
Okay. Again,
right? Like Braxton got the start. Theo Benedict came in. Now, Theo Benedict was the left tackle for a lot of that red zone drill. Mm. When they were looking pretty good. Theo Bennett is also left tackle when Miles Murphy beat him. Again, I don't know the mechanics or who's supposed to go where, but that was the side where Miles Murphy got the sack, two of them. And so, and Ben talked before the game practice about, you know, Theo Bennett's pass protection was his liability last year and that needs to improve. And I'm sure it has improved. And Miles Murphy's a good player. So I think for Benedict's going to be, I mean, shoot, he might be number one on your list of players for like what is important on Saturday night. Now, I don't know what their plan is going to be. Maybe they rotate Braxton and Theo the way they did Karan and Jedrick last week. So you put Braxton in that category as well. But if you're Theo Benedict, today was a day where you could go out and go grab that role. And I think for him, just like the offense, it was up and down. And Ben's looking for consistency. I thought Braxton was okay, but, again, it's a little hard to get the best evaluation. So Saturday night is going to be huge for the two of them, assuming that they're going to play.
Do you think Karan Abagaji and Jedrick Wills are out of the picture, or is it just their turn? Is it Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict? It's their turn.
Yeah, Grody, I tend to think that they're out. If Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict don't play well Saturday, does Ben go, shoot, like, do we try again? Like,
the Joe Tooney nuclear option, I'm telling you.
Right. And, yeah. And
the other thing about this is, right, like if Braxton Jones doesn't get hurt, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the conversation is, but he did, right?
So, like, yeah, you have to have everything, dude. It really does. Yeah,
yeah. You know, Jedrick Wills played some right tackle today. Kronamit with the second team. I think Kronamit Gaji was left tackle with the third team. So, yeah, I think those two guys, to me, at this juncture, are competing to be your ninth offensive lineman, your backup tackle is my guess, because if the coaches saw things they liked last Saturday, they'd still be running with the ones or competing with Braxton. They wouldn't need, like, clearly they didn't really want to bring Theo over on the right side. If they did, they would have done it a month ago.
Right. Right.
Which I still have some questions about, but you know, I kind of trust Dan Rochard with this stuff. Obviously he knows a little bit more than I do about offensive line play.
Were they on, like, as Ben Johnson hit, or I guess it was Press Taylor who said before last week when he last spoke that they'd be putting these guys on an island, they wouldn't get any help. Was that the case with these guys today? Was it one-on-one against these guys?
Yeah, certainly the two-minute. Yeah. I mean, those Miles Murphy plays, you know, Theo did not have any help over there. And yeah, I mean, you're going to – now, I was watching some of the 7-on-7 work, so I didn't get a great view of the line play. I saw one rep. You guys want to do full judgment on one rep?
Yeah.
Let's write it up. Let's go.
Overjudge it.
I thought Theo Bennett did a really nice job in recovery. Like, it looked like he got beat for a second. He great footwork to get back in front of the guy, protect the quarterback. One rep. Recovered. Looked good.
Wrote it down. Recovery.
You get that?
One rep. Yeah. I'm emptying the notebook for you guys. Again, I was watching 7-on-7. When there was a little break, I'd flip over the line play. I didn't get to see a ton. The best rep I saw was from Logan Jones over there, actually. He really just anchored, totally stood up the defensive tackle who was, you know, just kind of, you know, sputtering in his tracks. So good rep for Logan Jones. So I watched the two reps I noted were good reps. So if there were no other reps that those guys had all day, great day for those two.
Man, I really wish I could have been there to watch the line play while you were watching all that offensive fireworks. You know, you send two people to a joint practice like this, you get four eyes on things like that. Well, but instead, Kevin strong-armed me. He said, I'm going to Cincinnati. You're stuck going to Nashville. And then
I could have been talking to Kyler Gordon on the sidelines, you know? Yeah, I could have been given no comment, will comment, you know? Okay, so you like doing your own oil changes. It's got to be cheaper at home, right? But is it really cheaper than the $50 full synthetic oil change at the Rohrmann Automotive Group? So to do it at home, you need to buy a case of oil. That's $35 to $60. A new oil filter, that'll run you about $5 to $25. A crush washer, whatever a crush washer is, a drain pan, an oil filter wrench, a socket set. You got to have all the right tools if you want to do it at home. Or you could just take your vehicle to the Rohrmann Automotive Group and get the $50 full synthetic lube, oil, and filter change on virtually any make or any model vehicle by factory-trained technicians and our state-of-the-art facilities. That's exactly what I did. And that's right, just $50. Offer is good at any of the Rohrmann Automotive Group stores, 10 locations here in Chicagoland. And for more than 60 years, the Rohrmann Automotive Group has provided consumers with the highest quality new and pre-driven automotive products combined with excellent customer service and sales. That is the truth. Also, leasing and vehicle maintenance services. Visit Rohrmann.com or any of their 20 store websites, including 10 stores right here in Chicagoland, to schedule your next service appointment online in real time for up to 7 quarts of full synthetic oil available on virtually every make and model. See our website for exclusions.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You guys want to talk sideline players? Because
yeah.
a lot yeah, of sure. those guys traveled. I mean,
yeah, let's do that.
Tyson Bagent and Kyle Manungai did not travel.
Okay.
Got the update today that Tyson is week to week.
Not good.
You know, obviously, does that lead into week one? But yeah, you know, Kyle Gordon was there. Jalen Jones is there. Terrell Smith back on the field, limited. First time back in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
We saw Luke Newman was there. No street clothes. Marcus Davenport. They're working him in. He was not entirely sure what it is that he's just not, because like you got to pass a physical to sign.
Right. So yeah. It's been four practices now since he signed, yeah. I believe.
Huh. So conditioning me. I don't.
You can't count to know. Four. Maybe you can't count to four. Is that the thing? Yeah.
The
Two, three, four. That's what Dennis Allen said.
You can play in the defense. Four, you can play in his defense.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I was like, when during the individual drills, right in front of us, I will say that one of the nice things, guys, was we actually just got to stand on the sideline during practice.
Oh.
Or I went up to the bleachers when the team stuff started just to get a better view. And, you know, there was nobody in the bleachers. It was just, and it was
like on the old days, at the
50 yard line. Yeah. And yeah, but the old, I was, you know, educating the young Sean Hammond and Michael Dvorak.
Said, guys, you don't understand. When we used to come to Bourbonnais, they used to make us take a knee because the fans were, you know, we got to sit down on the sideline the whole time.
Yeah,
and John Fox put us on that bunker on a hill.
Oh, did either of you guys ever cover two-a-days? That those predated you guys. No,
did you get them in Minnesota, Dan?
When I was in Minnesota, they weren't doing two-a-days, but they would make the afternoon walkthrough open, right? Like, so it would be a slow. It's, I guess some days they were. I don't know. I'd have to revisit my notes on that, but I know that we were out at two sessions per day for what it's worth, and then you would talk to people on both sides of that thing. So. Not like the old days when it was like you'd go 4 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, and everybody would be dead by the end of the day.
Speaking of back in the old days, so Cincinnati does not have any kind of video photo policy.
Okay. So you can just film the whole practice.
Willy-nilly.
They can film the whole practice normally, and then the Bears come to town. The Bengals writers were all like, oh, wait, we can't shoot anything. They could just shoot, like, I guess it becomes a race back to their computers to see, and they just get all these people who just post all like the whole practice. I don't know. It's
a friend of the podcast, Jim Ozarski, used to cover the Bengals, and he would talk about during the spring in OTAs, they would have open locker room, you know, like we don't sniff the locker room in the spring, and that like open locker room at OTAs, there'd be, I guess, like three reporters and like 25 players in the locker room. And so you could just go in there on a May Thursday and just fill your recorder and your notebook with more than you could ever use. And I was like, man, what a paradise that must be, where I feel like here in camp, like just to get an interview session away from the podium, it's been like you need to get your pliers, pull a few teeth, and you get a wrench, you pull a few more teeth, and then maybe you get to talk to Roman and say,
oh, yeah, Paul, our guy Paul Diener at The Athletic said, you guys, yeah, today's open locker room number 20. So
what?
See, look at Grody's reaction to that. That's just amazing. A visceral reaction, right?
Like, yeah, Pat Finley was like, oh, yeah, I went to the locker room, talked to Jamar Chase, talked to Patrick Lawrence, talked to, you know, a few other guys.
I'll let you know how it goes in Nashville. We'll see what the Titans policy is, although the Titans media corps is not exactly robust either. So I imagine there might be some free reign there as well.
Oh, okay.
By the way, the Bengals reporters, a bunch of them have these portable stools. So, you know, they're like walk around with a little, you know, shoulder string, and then they got this circle.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, you unfold it like it's, you know, a styrofoam cup kind of thing. And then they can just sit on the stool. So they just walk their rock around the field with their little portable stool.
Was there any other? I want to get into the.
You don't want to talk about more like things like that? You want to talk about real football?
No, I love that. Trust me, I love that. I love that. But I do want to hear more about the red zone touchdowns. But I do want to make sure we've covered everybody on the sidelines. Kyler Gordon was there.
Kyler Gordon was there. Cool. Oh, I remember what I was saying. Right in front of where we were standing, Luther Burden was just hanging out, playing catch, flipping the ball in the air, you know, good spirits. So unfortunately had to talk to Larry Mayer for a brief moment. I think Larry was
Take a picture with him.
I didn't fully hear the whole conversation. I think Larry was telling him about the players he used to, because Larry would sometimes go play catch with some guys, and Larry was telling him about all the different players he played catch with. Cause I just heard the names, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Kevin White from my ear.
What would a Larry Mayer book be?
It'd just be selfies of like him and Becky Lynch and, you know, other people from the WWE.
All photos and captions.
Then like, you know,
Bears. Charles Tillman.
Third string linebackers from the 90s. You know, that's what it would be.
This is the day Charles Tillman pranked me. Here's that story. Chapter 23.
So, yeah, that's your sideline recap. So, you know, Kyle Gruner was there for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
He's able to travel.
It's something. You know?
And I think some of the injured guys must have done stuff later, because like some of them kind of not put on full pads, but were in jerseys later walking around with the strength staff. So they might have done some extra conditioning maybe after practice.
Not to detour us too much, but up at theathletic.com right now, I did a progress report on the eye tests of players. In June, I wrote down 5 players and 5 things that I wanted to have an eye test on during training camp. One of those things was Kyler Gordon's presence. Obviously that eye test has been failed so far during training camp. And it's, you know, you read it and you're like, oh man, they were really counting on him trying to get over this hurdle and becoming integrated in this defense in a way that built momentum toward the regular season. And here now, the most positive update we've had here on August 20th from the last 3.5 weeks of camp is that Kyler Gordon actually was standing on the sideline watching practice.
Yeah.
Did he look like he loved football while he was watching? Did he have like that love of football look?
He seemed chipper, hanging out with Jalen Jones. Two of them go way back. And
yeah.
You know, like I said, said hello to us as we walk by. And
it's such a weird thing. It really is. Like I never saw that he would not have been one of the players that I would have seen this coming from, this ambiguity, this whatever is going on, which we, I don't know, unless you guys have information, like we're all just guessing on what is actually going on with Kyler Gordon. And it's easy to guess from the Bears side that they're not happy or don't want to talk about it or whatever. But I don't know. The whole thing's just bizarre. Is he going to play this year or what?
Tell you what, it's, you juxtapose that with your second year left tackle who just came back from a patellar tendon injury.
That's a great point.
After 7 months. And that's the problem too, is like, I understand that teams are very reticent to put timelines on guys, especially with soft tissue and whatever. The less we know about what's going on, the more people are left to speculate. So I will tell you, Grody, who am I to say that that's preposterous? The idea that he wouldn't play, like the ambiguity. That's what we have to work with. Like we don't have a, hey, look, like he strained his calf. The muscle's just not reacting the way we need to. We want to get to a point where like, it's not going to happen again. So we're taking him, he's not going to play at all this preseason. And we're going to take it up to week 1 and start ramping him up. Like there hasn't been any of that, you know, like there's nothing really for us to work with. So you are left to sit there and just let your mind wander.
On a positive note, I know Grody wanted to shift into the red zone here. I will tell you, at Wednesday's practice, they did a 7-on-7 red zone period, and it was like humming. Like there were back-to-back touchdown throws. It was Caleb DeColston comes back to the other side of the field. The very next rep hits Rome, and you're like, oh, man, I know it's 7-on-7, but this is the type of stuff where you start to feel the juices flowing. It sounds like there were a few throws today where it's like, okay, there's some things here to really build upon that tell you that this offense can be dynamic with the number of guys they have to use.
Yeah, 2 to Loveland, 2 big throws to Loveland. One was the touchdown, which, as I mentioned, is on social. Then he found Khalif in the, I think it was the back corner maybe of the end zone. And then Caden Davis, it was a bit of a low throw away from defender, right at the front pylon. And I was charting the throws through the red zone drill. Like even before that, he had three completions. So yeah, I mean, he was just dialed in, and this was team. It was 7-on-7. Now 7-on-7 early in the red zone, they had some good plays too. Scotty Miller, it was a questionable if it was a touchdown. Not to continue talking about Larry, because we don't need to give him more airtime, but he said, he goes, it would be fair to say Scotty Miller caught this pass at the back of the end zone. Whether or not he got 2 feet in, we don't know. He actually just texted me.
Is he mad at us? We love Larry. Love Larry.
And we'll get to Larry later when I tell you guys about the wild Wednesday night in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So yeah, the red zone, like, again, they were efficient. He had time to throw. He got the ball out quick with some zip. 7-on-7 looked pretty good. I thought, you know, going back to my notes, the guys with the biggest catches today were Colson Loveland, Khalif Raymond, Roma Dunze, which is what you want. Those are your top three guys. And I also throw this at the end. So I mentioned Paul Diener. We were both watching Bears offense, Bengals defense, because from his perspective, like, the big Bengals storyline is the defense. That is their story this summer. Like, they know how good the offense can be. There's one question on offense. Literally, the one question is, will Joe Burrow stay healthy? Like, that's the question on offense. So he wanted to watch the defense. Our friend and colleague Zach Kiefer was actually watching the Bengals offense, so we did have eyes over there. And Paul and I afterwards, we shot a video, and we kind of each said one guy in our team that impressed us the most. Obviously, for me, it was Dexter Lawrence. And for Paul, it was Loveland. He was, like, blown away at what Loveland was capable of in practice. He was really – and also, it's like, it's not like it's a surprise to anybody in the state of Ohio who was familiar with the Bengals. They saw what he did last year in that game. Yeah. So for Paul to even say that still – again, I think speaks to quick trivia for you.
Yeah.
Of the 90 Bengals players, this is bad trivia because I don't think you guys are going to be able to pull up a roster and do this right now. There's one guy that I could find that spent any time with the Bears.
There's one guy on the whole
on the whole team. Oh. You know, I'm looking for some overlap.
Crossover storylines, yeah. Can you give me a position?
Yeah. Linebacker. I'll give you linebacker. His only time with the Bears was the 2025 spring and summer. Great name.
It's definitely not Amon Ogbonmamiga because he spent more time than that.
Joel Ea Booneyway.
2025.
Oh, yeah. That was
only preseason in OTAs.
All right, let's get to it.
Yeah. Don't make us look stupid.
You may remember him from Dirty Dancing.
Oh, man.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sway's Bozeman.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember yeah. from Palace Hall, to be honest with you. Good luck, Swayze. I'm sure I checked your name off on a roster check once or twice.
Oh, that's beautiful. I saw a little nugget from you, Caden Davis, running with the ones out there.
Yeah. He did get a few reps. I'm trying to picture, like, the rotation, like, you know, because you got Rome, you got Khalif, you got Jade. So I guess essentially Caden was the number four.
Okay.
And we've seen a couple times where they'll run four wide, not often, obviously, because you got Loveland. But I think maybe, you know, I wrote this. I said, you have your five receivers, right? You've got Rome, Luther, Khalif, Xavion, and I think Jade is good. Do you keep six? And if you keep six, if you're going to base it on who's made the most plays on offense, it's Caden Davis. There's no question. So I thought that was, you know, I asked Caleb about him today after practice, you know, again, running with the ones, you got to be a little careful with that. But I think it's noteworthy that he's catching passes from Caleb Williams in practice today. So,
Kevin, we definitely have more that we're going to do here with you, but let's take a moment here because this is the first time we're doing this brand new segment on the Take the North podcast with one of our great partners, one of our great sponsors, the Roarman Automotive Group. And Dan and I will actually be in Gurnee at Gurnee Hyundai on Monday night from 6 to 8 with such luminaries as DeAndre Swift and Tyson Bajan. TTN is going live from 6 to 8, but we have a new segment, the Well-Oiled Machine segment. The Well-Oiled Machine segment, ladies and gentlemen, is indeed brought to you by the Roarman Automotive Group, home of the $50 oil change, which I can attest to was a wonderful experience when I got to do it. They took care of me and they take care of everybody and they will take care of you. But let's go around the room and look ahead to the Saturday preseason game, an evening game along the Ohio River of Cincinnati, the Bears and the Bengals. And Dan, I will start with you. Since you are a founding father of this podcast, who is going to be your well-oiled machine on Saturday night against the Bengals?
We saw Case Keenum slinging it last weekend, and he needs people to sling it too. And he's probably going to play more because of Tyson Bajan's hamstring issue, because Caleb Williams isn't going to be near the field because Miller Moss doesn't need that much work, right? So I'm going with Maurice Alexander, known to this podcast and friends of Maurice Alexander. It's Hard Time. Hard Time got in the end zone last week. Hard Time is going to be the well-oiled machine on Saturday evening, continuing to produce in an offense that presents opportunities. Maurice Alexander, my well-oiled machine this week.
Kevin, you want to take a crack at it, my friend?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned this off air, I think. How about Anthony Johnson, the safety? He had an interception today. He's had, it's not his first interception in training camp. He's definitely had at least one or two others during the summer. The guy's played in the league for a little bit. You look at that position right now, obviously no Kobe Bryant. Elijah Hicks still not out there. You bring in Xavier Woods. You got obviously Cam Lewis and Dylan Thiedemann. You know, is there, what's that room going to look like? Is there room for an Anthony Johnson? So he's probably going to get a lot of playing time. So, you know, if there's a there's an airmail throw, and you know, is he able to get an interception?
Okay, like that. I am going to go with, because I feel like he was just getting cooking in the last preseason of the game, I'm going with my guy Britton Brown, who had a 7-yard touchdown catch. This guy, he obviously had that big burst against, was it against Cincinnati last year?
Yeah.
He had a 22-yard touchdown run. So right. I feel like he is going to, and I think that was the only game that he actually played in at running back last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's going to be feeling that a little bit. I think he's going to remember those uniforms and he's going to be very good. So I'm going to go with Britton Brown. And we're still week to week, I'm a Nun guy, right? That's no update there, I assume, right, Kev?
No, you know, I said he didn't travel. Britton Brown, I will say, got into, I would call this a minor extracurricular activity post-whistle. Felt tussle. It looked like he felt like the linebacker for Cincinnati might have held on too long, a little pushing and shoving. Darnell Wright, who, you know, a bit of a gentle giant, not the way he played this day, but, you know, he got into it, but I'll call that one a minor fracas.
Okay. Oh, we're going minor fracas.
Minor fracas that he was involved in, standing up for his guys.
Okay, I like that, man. You need that. You need that nasty.
But yeah, Britton Brown could be a big one on a big opportunity for him Saturday.
No, I think he's going to pop one. That was awesome, guys. The well-oiled machine just made its debut. That segment was brought to you by the Roarman Automotive Group, home of the $50 oil change.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions,
Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Weedsy, do we have any other serious stuff to get to with Kevin before we talk about the socializing that went on apparently in the Natty with other Bears reporters?
I have one more quick one. It sounds like linebacker TJ Edwards was available post-practice. I think he would become the final starter on the Bears depth chart to speak to the media this preseason. I think we've checked all those boxes now, but I'm just curious where TJ's at, obviously coming back off the injury that he suffered in the playoffs and just kind of what the theme of the back and forth with TJ was today.
Yeah, Dan, I asked him about just how he's doing and how he's managed all of this. And you know, one of the things that he said, you know, I asked him, like, when are you going to be full go? Because he still didn't seem to be full go today. When the Bears were in their nickel and some of the team stuff was DeMarco Jackson with Devin Bush. And he reminded us of last year. Like, he's never dealt with anything like he dealt with last year. Multiple injuries, missing all that time, and, of course, the injury against the Packers. So he made it seem like they are doing everything they can right now. Like, he doesn't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
So they're managing it with that in mind. That's like, can we set this up so I don't have to, doesn't have to be a nagging situation. So that's kind of where he's at. He's, you know, very high on Bush and his speed. Talked to him about Jervon Dexter and some of the guys in the interior who play in front of him. He's just being kind of the spokesman for the defense. So certainly if you listen to everything he said, everything is hunky-dory over there on the defensive side of the ball. He's very positive, understandably, and effusive about his teammates. And I will say, I can't give you guys full analysis, but talking to the people who were on that field, the Bears defense seemed to hold their own. Like, it was not – you know, the Burrow Chase Higgins show all day long. It seemed like the Bears defense did a solid job.
Thieneman had a pick, it looked like, too. Yeah. So I guess that's good. I don't know if that necessarily means.
Speaking of hard time, Dan, he had a kick return touchdown kind of. Oh. You know, it's hard to tell with special teams, but he did seem to take one back. So
okay, maybe he gets that opportunity on Saturday as well. You know, hard times have got open windows everywhere to run through.
The coach, Ben Johnson, only talked before the practice, right? He didn't give a – there's no, like, we don't know what he thought of the practice. Okay.
No, you'll find out next
Saturday night. Saturday night. Somebody will ask Saturday night or next Tuesday.
Oh, and did Caleb say anything that piqued your interest, assuming you were in the
press room?
Or was it just good old-fashioned Caleb being Caleb?
You know, he was frustrated. I mean, he was ticked. You know, he talked about the penalties. He talked about the interception there at the end. You could tell he was frustrated with that part. I mean, he even said that he felt like 90% of practice they were struggling with penalties and stuff. So you could tell that he was, bothered by the way that they performed overall, and maybe a little recency bias. If practice ended with a red zone drill, maybe he would have been. He gives, you know, solid, you know, as he always is. You could tell that irked him the way that practice wrapped up.
Ooh, that's probably a pretty good indication of what Ben Johnson thought then. goes through my mind right now. Oh, man. All right. So you guys all – what is today? Today's Thursday as we're recording this. So you guys all got there Wednesday, right? So you guys all, as a collective media, you all hung out together, right? You guys had a big dinner and went out.
Yeah, Mark, I saw five media member or four media members and two Bears PR staffers at the Cardinals Reds game.
Oh,
Great American Ballpark. Lovely ballpark. I've never been. It was nice to cross it off the list.
Yeah.
Right by the football stadium too.
Right by the football stadium. Walk there. I liked how the Pete Rose statue is right next to the BetMGM sports bar.
I never realized that. Oh, that's nice hilarious.
And, but yeah, all those people were there and nobody went with each other. We just all happened to, there were even people there that I found out later were there and, you know, didn't even see them. So,
you know, who'd you go with?
I went with Pat Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. You might be familiar with his work.
Mm-hmm. Pat's a fun guy to hang out with in those trips.
Yeah, we saw Brad Biggs.
Oh, big baseball guy.
Who I'm sure is going to be thrilled that I just disclosed where he was on Wednesday night.
Brad was there, of course, with Pat the Designer.
Oh, are they buds?
I think Pat the Designer was there, but I did not see him. I believe Jason Leisure was there. Did not see him. Larry was there.
Oh, okay.
Chris Emma had seats in the third row behind home plate. You want to talk about a bigwig, Chris Emma, down there. Talked to a couple of Bears PR staffers. I'm told that former Bears PR staffer and former media good guy nominee Eric Shapinski was there.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Did not get a chance to see him. Shout out to Eric. I heard he was there. So, yeah, it was good. It was a lot of us, like six different sets of people all went to the same game. That's hilarious, man.
I'm just waiting
on social for the selfie of Larry and like Norm Charlton and Chris Sabo.
With the goggles on. Remember the Chris Sabo guy?
Hey, I ran into Chris Sabo in the concourse.
We slid into the third row seats, which Larry had, I think, invited himself to first to say hello. And I could just tell Larry was in that mode where he was probably telling a story about like the 1993 Reds and one time they played the Cubs and he took the train and sat in the bleachers and the left fielder.
Cal Daniels hit a double.
The nasty boys.
Yeah.
So tell me about them boys.
Yeah.
Larry Dworkin was there.
Good ballpark, though. That was a nice, nice park. I will say this. I had been there for about 2 minutes when I got a text message from Zach Zaidman.
Double Z.
He also would be loved to hear that his name was uttered on this podcast. Zach texted me and goes, are you at the Reds-Cardinals game? And if you are you sitting – are you in right field by the foul pole? I said I was. And in those 2 minutes that I kind of got settled in there, the camera panned across the audience. And Zach, scouting the NL Central, because, you know, he's always doing his prep. He's always staying one step ahead.
Yeah.
Spotted me on television.
That's the first thought I had. Like, what's he doing watching the – but that's doing your job at a 10 right there.
Next level.
Yeah.
Don't think that he's not watching, you know, Providence – basketball summer league practices to get ready for Big East basketball. I mean, he's always one step ahead.
We are DePaul. Will you talk about DePaul on this podcast whenever we can, as long as it's 80s DePaul players, like Dallas Comedies and
Terry Tyrone
Corbin,
Kevin Edwards,
Rod Strickland.
Oh, Rod Strickland, one of my favorites, man. Kevin
TJ, Tony Jackson.
Oh yeah, Mark Aguirre, Terry Cummings. I mean, you got to mention those guys. But
I was there when Tommy Kleinschmidt 4-point play to beat Louisville.
Oh.
1993, maybe.
Was that a Denny Crum team still?
It had to be a Denny Crum team at that point, for sure.
When Louisville would come to town in the 90s, the entire second deck of the Rosemont Horizon was red.
That's amazing. I'm glad you said the Rosemont Horizon. That felt good to hear.
That place had life. That place had life back in those days.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's had bursts. It had that revival, I guess, in the 90s, right? When you had
I'm old enough that I went to one game a year at the Alumni Hall. They used to do like a non-con game at Alumni Hall in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, they did have last year. Did they not have more Big East wins than they've ever had since they've joined the Big East? Not that it was good. It wasn't good.
Just more.
It was more. It was relative. More. It's all about relativities, guys. Yeah. Life really is about relativity. And I feel like I'm running a risk in asking this question to you, Kevin. But as we wind down the podcast, anything cooking on the Breaking In with Kevin Fishbane podcast, or else you're probably on hiatus right now. Maybe you're on hiatus.
No.
You don't take breaks. Yeah,
I don't, Grody. There's been 72 episodes and I haven't taken a week off. And there's been one week where there were two episodes.
Oh my God. You're going to catch up with us. We're at 516 right now. Dan, let's step it up. Write that down.
When Dan's in Nashville next week, I might try to bank a couple more episodes, looking ahead for to get some done, in the football season.
Okay.
Trying to think if there's a name I could give you.
Jeff Joniak. Oh, really? Not the Jeff.
I gave you it. Wayne Larrivee when we talked on the radio last week.
I can't do it right now. I'm in the other room. I'll scare the hell out of her to do the Wayne Larrivee right now.
You know what? Because we were talking Chicago college sports. It is my podcast after all. So there is a Dave Ennett episode ready to go.
Hey, Stray. Oh, that's awesome.
To the Bears fans listening, that episode will be out in the first week of October. Dave Ennett was part of the 85 Bears broadcast team.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and he has a phenomenal story that he tells on the episode about going to Ditka's suite the morning of the game with Dick Butkus, because Butkus would do the pregame. He would do the interview with the coach.
Oh,
and here's wow. Dave Ennett walking through New Orleans with Dick Butkus on the morning of the Super Bowl to record that interview. It's a really awesome story. So Bears fans will get a kick out of that one.
I love that, man. Yeah. Wow. That is, yeah, he had a lot of like rising stars on that broadcast. Cause I do believe Chuck Swirsky was probably part of that. I think a young Dan McNeil was either interning or producing. So yeah, who's the, oh God, there's a news reporter that was part of that too. Longtime guy, just retired. I can't think of his name. Steve.
About 90 seconds ago, I was going to tell you guys you should nominate this episode for some kind of podcast award. Then the Steve thing happened.
Steve. I know there's a Steve. There must have been a Steve. Dan, is there anything else that you got for your teammate at The Athletic and my friend Kevin Fishbane?
No, I mean, I am genuinely looking forward to going to the joint practice in Nashville next week. But I will say that there were points of today where I was like, I'm cool not being there. I'm glad Kev's
not there. A terrible lifestyle.
Kev's got this surrounded today.
Dan, bring your sunscreen, bring your sunglasses, be ready,
and an umbrella and a poncho.
Yeah,
and,
bring it all.
You know, just everything. Got to be prepared. Yeah,
Steve Bertrand.
There you go.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand.
Steve Berline.
Part of the broadcast back in the day.
Do you have a Steve Bertrand impression, Grody?
I don't. I'm just happy I came up with the name, man. Come on.
Can you give me Ron Gleason calling Tommy Kleinschmidt's four-point play?
Tommy Kleinschmidt, back to pass. There's a four-point play. Grody, what the hell are you doing? You're fired. Goodbye. Here's five reasons why you're fired. I don't have time. How'd I do, Ron? Not very good. Have a great day. He actually said that, Rod. Actually, there was a very part time sports reporter at WBBM way back in the day when I was a full time member of the WBBM sports team, and he was like an every other week, like the most obscure shifts you get, like Sunday nights or Sunday overnights, and he asked Ron, he's like, hey, just I'm up. This is kind of Friday. How am I doing? And Ron goes, not very good, sir. Have a great weekend. That was, can you imagine?
Good progress report.
Not very good, honestly. We'll talk later. Grody's bugging me. He put a 50. The guy went to the zoo. He went to the San Diego Zoo. He put $50 down on his company card. I can't have that. What are you doing, Grody? Looking at monkeys? That's a true story.
And we don't have enough time to unpack that. Kevin, go get some dinner somewhere in Cincinnati. I hope it's with at least one other member of the media corps, even if you have to meet five other members of the media corps through different groups.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Really, we do appreciate your time, man. This podcast would not have been possible without you, Kevin Fishbane.
It's been a lot different.
Yeah, we didn't see a damn thing. We're just reading what you guys are writing right now. That will do it for us for today. And so for our very special guest, Kevin Fishbane, for Dan Weederer, both of these guys with The Athletic, read their stories. Fishbane's got stuff up and running right now about the day, the joint practice, and he will be there for all the joint practices and for the game on Saturday as well. For our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, who right now is delivering sports updates on WBBM, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the mighty Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.